Blog Talk Radio. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Flowers. And yes, this is the third Monday of the month. You're listening to Restore of the Paths to Dwell In. I am your host, Apostle Carl Flowers. Ministry is called Repair the Breach International Ministries. And we thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Builders International Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Where the founder is Prophetess Teresa. And thank God for Evangelist Hannah. Amen, working with her behind the scenes, on the scenes and behind the scenes, and those that are working with Prophetess Teresa to make this possible for you to hear quality men and women of God coming on and delivering to you the word of God, the word from the Lord. It's a blessing and an honor to minister to you on tonight. Thank God for the internet listeners, the landline listeners, cell phone listeners, wherever my voice is heard. Those of you that are tuning in to this broadcast, I want you to be in high expectation, to be expecting to hear a word from the Lord, because there is a word from God. And yes, God has a word for you. And I want you to be encouraged on tonight. Look for a move of God in your life, because we do not serve a dead God. Our God lives, and he lives forevermore. He's not like what the Word of God talks about, statues that are made by the hands of men, statues that cannot talk, statues that don't have no life in them, except they have demonic powers operating on the inside of them. So what kind of God is that you're bowing down to statues that are made by men? So that's backwards in itself right there. So it is God, that it is he that is our creator. And he created all things. Does not nature teach us that? When you look at nature, you look at creation, and you can just look at that and just behold and just say, hey, man, I know it was a God that created all this. And the Word of God said that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. So you're not no junk. You're not no mess. It don't matter how old you are, how young you are, how you look. You know, people say that you're ugly, you're skinny, you're fat, or, you know, just talking about you in a song. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. God knew what he was doing when he orchestrated you, when he created you, when he designed you, when he put you up on that potter's wheel, and he made you and formed you and fashioned you and created you just the way he wanted you to be, male or female. As the Word of God say, created he them. And so we thank God on tonight. Thank God for my wife, Apostle Angel Flowers. And I thank God for those of you that have been supporting this broadcast by tuning in and listening faithfully every first and third Monday that we are on. I thank God for you. I just speak a special blessing upon you on tonight. And so I'm going to get right into the Word of God. I'm not going to delay any longer, so we can jump right into the Word of God. What I want you to do, grab a pad, grab a pen, take some notes, write down scriptures, go back, refer to them for yourselves. See, ponder on, meditate on, think about for yourself when you read the Word of God. Because the Word of God in Timothy says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Workmen need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. This is the time and the season now where we need to rightly divide the Word of truth, because so many false doctrines that are being released from the pulpit out here through the television, you know, the airwaves, the broadcast, radio waves, internet waves, it's just, as the Word of God said, doctrines of devils and demons that are being released in these end times. But Jesus said these things are going to be. But I'm going to get into that, go right into that. But first, let's go into prayer. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you on tonight, Lord God. Father, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you're not dead, that you live, and you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and you're still yet moving in miracles, signs, and wonders. You're still performing, God, in the name of Jesus, the notable miracles, creative miracles, supernatural miracles. God, I decree it right now on tonight. Lord, I release it right now, those that are listening under the sound of my voice, Lord, those that are tuning in to this broadcast, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I prophesy and prophetically decree and declare in every home, Lord, every business, God, every workplace, God, that is listening, God, under the sound of my voice, God, in the miraculous will take place in their circumstances, in their situation, in their lives, in the people of God's life, in the name of Jesus. Those that are in ministry, God, in the name of Jesus, our supernatural move, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, those that need to be revived again on tonight, Lord, let them be revived, let them be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Let this be a time of refreshing for the people of God, for the saints of God, for the men and the women of God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now that the prophetic mantle be released on tonight, God. The mantles of healing, the mantles of deliverance be released on tonight. Healing mantle be released in the name of Jesus, because healing is the children's bread. Deliverance is the children's bread in the name of Jesus, God. I pray right now the gifts of the Spirit be stirred up on tonight, that you would stir your people up, God. Activate them. I charge them on tonight in the name of Jesus, God. Father, I pray right now that they begin to grab and begin to pick up, God, the mantles that are here in the earth realm. They did not leave when the generals went on, when those have passed and went on to on with you, God, and into heaven. Those mantles are still here for those that are that want you, God, for those that are running for you, Lord. Those that are chosen of you, God, those that you deem worthy, God, to carry these mantles, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let the people of God begin to pick up these mantles and run with the mantles in the name of Jesus. And we know that persecution will come. But Lord, I pray right now for the people of God that they will not be weary in well-doing of your word declare. If they faint not, then they shall reap the harvest in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray and decree and declare right now and prophesy right now in the name of Jesus, God, creative miracles, notable miracles taking place in the physical bodies of your people right now, in their circumstances and in their situations, God. In the name of the Lord, release that son that's behind the prison wall. Release that daughter that's behind the prison wall. Release that person that is bound, that uncle that is bound by drugs, that is bound by alcohol. In the name of Jesus, we release that person that is bound by addiction, sexual addiction, food addictions in their life, pharmaceutical addiction, pharmakia, in the name of Jesus, where they're addicted to pills, in the name of addicted to cold medicine, addicted, in the name of, I break addictions right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your warring angels. Release them right now, your warring angels, to war on behalf of the people of God that are listening. Lord, I declare and decree an open heavens, Lord God, be over this broadcast on tonight, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your ministering angels be released and minister to every individual, Lord, that is tuned in, that is listening under the sound of my voice. Right now, I apostolically declare, prophetically decree, in the name of Jesus, the miraculous to take place right now. Finances being released right now. Poverty, lack, and want being broken right now. The bloodline curse is being broken on tonight. In the name of Jesus, God, that you are very present help in the time of trouble. I thank you for delivering your people out of the time of trouble, God, in their trouble, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. And I pray right now, Father, that your people begin to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor through the midst of their tests, their trials, their circumstances, God. In the name of Jesus, whether it's working out right for them, God, or not, God, that they will praise you and glorify you like Paul and Silas when they were locked up in prison. In the name of Jesus, God, they begin to praise you and glorify you. So, Lord, I pray that a spirit of, a garment of praise will begin to come up upon the people of God, that you pour out the oil of gladness upon the people of God. In the name of Jesus, God. Father, I pray for direction, for those that are looking for direction on tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, even in this time, God, that there be an increase of visions and dreams, Lord. In the name of Jesus, and the confirming of your word on tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray for marriages be restored, families be reconciled and restored. In the name of you, that daughter come home, that son come home, Lord. Testimonies, praise reports, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Lord, that sickness, God, that person been dealing with, God, and that the doctors cannot find no cure for it, be healed right now, on tonight, in the name of Jesus. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. In the name of Jesus, I pray for leaders in the body of Christ, pastors, in the name of Jesus, Lord, who have your heart, that are running for you, Lord. In the name of you, Lord, strengthen them, encourage their hearts. I come against spirits of discouragement and disappointment and betrayal in the body of Christ, that spirit, that covenant-breaking spirit, in the body of Christ, in the name of Jesus, I come against it right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let covenant be restored again in the body, that we know what covenant is. In the name of Jesus, that we the men and women of God of our word, in the name of Jesus, Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord God. I pray the powers of witchcraft be broken in the local assemblies, in the church house, where they allow witchcraft to come in, and those leaders that have gotten into control and dominance over the people of God and intimidation, in the name of Jesus, God, let them come unto repentance, Father, in the name, for they are your sheep, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that the sheep belongs to you. Now we don't own the sheep. The church is not even ours. The church belongs to you. You just call us to manage the church. You just called us to oversee and to over the church. The church is not ours. We're not the founders of churches. Lord, you're the founder. You're the chief cornerstone, and we're just supervising the houses of God. We're supervising the local assembly. Lord, let us remember that, and let us remember, Lord, that you call us to serve. As leaders, you called us to serve the local assembly, to serve the sheep, to serve the people of God, to encourage them, and to speak the truth in love, to correct and to rebuke, but to do it in love, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us the omissions and the commissions of our sins, Lord. Have mercy upon us, O God. Have mercy upon this nation, God. Have mercy, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for what we have allowed in the church, God. Forgive us, Lord. We repent, God. We pray unity, Lord, in this nation, unity among the body of Christ, Lord, that the church will begin to humble themselves according to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. You said, if my people, which you're talking about the church, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you said, then we shall hear from heaven. You shall hear from heaven, and you will forgive our sins, and that you will heal our land. So let there be a coming together with the body of Christ, Lord. Let there be an humbling in the body of Christ, Lord. Let us humble ourselves and come together, Lord, and pray in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We ask that you would, Lord, just hear, Lord, and answer our prayers. We thank you for answering our prayers, the cries of your people, God, for many, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, are crying out to you, Lord, in this hour, God. And I ask that you would deliver your people out of the hands of the enemy in Jesus' mighty name. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord God, on tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Thank God. Amen. And amen. You can't just go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, starting at the 8th verse. I'm going to read the 8th through the 10th verse. So make sure you write that scripture down on tonight. And yes, this is the times of trouble that we are in. These are the days of trouble. These are the days that Jesus had prophesied to the disciples when they came to ask him, when would the end be? And Jesus, I'm just paraphrasing, and Jesus began to let them know there should not be one stone left upon another. There should not be one turned over, overturned, so to speak, uncovered. And these are the signs to look for that you would know that we are in the end times. So just look at the things that are going on around us in the media. Just look at what you're seeing happening now here, you know, the calamities that are happening, the earthquakes in diverse places, these various things that Jesus had prophesied is in the Word of God in Matthew 24. Just write it down and go back and read it for yourself. These are the end times, whether, you know, the world wants to try to deny it or not, even those that are in the local church and certain denominations that are in denial about the last days and in denial about the end times and in denial about spiritual warfare and that there are no demons and devils, that stuff is not real, and this is what they're saying, and this is the lie of the enemy to deceive the world and try to, if it was possible to deceive God's elect, as the Word of God said, if it were possible. And so this is what the enemy is doing. He's the enemy of deception, like he did from the beginning in the garden. Started, got trouble, started up. That's when all our troubles began, in the beginning, in the garden. Actually, it began when he wanted to rebel against God, Lucifer, covering cherub. He was the bearer of light. He was one of the high-ranking archangels of the Lord. He held a high position in heaven, and he was the guardian over the light. And so that's why the Word of God says that he's an angel of light. And so he lost his place because of pride. And that's what's going on today. That's why we have a lot of trouble in the world now, because of pride and because of the greed of men and so on. But as we see these things going on, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Yes, be prepared and be ready for the coming of the Lord. The Lord wants us to be ready and prepared and ready for his return, for his coming. God wants to be in position, but you have to find yourself busy. You have to find yourself laboring in the vineyard. You have to find yourself serving in the house of the Lord. You have to find yourself having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Word of God said we're saved by grace through faith and not of works, should any man boast. So you can be in a church and serving, but yet walking in doubt, walking in unbelief, but yet not having a relationship with the Lord. So now you're caught up in works, thinking because you're doing work that's going to get you to heaven, you're going to work your way to heaven. It does not work that way, beloved. James talks about, you show me your works and I'll show you my faith, coupled with works. So you have to have faith with works, and you have to believe, amen, what you're doing for the Lord, and also have a relationship, again, as you heard me say, with the Lord. Again, yes, we are in troubling times where you see just marriages are on the rocks, divorce left and right. I'm not talking about in the world. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about in the body of Christ, in the church, men and women of God, you getting divorced left and right. not being able to, you know, reconcile. The enemy is moving rapid within the church and just attacking the people of God. Why? Because we're letting our guards down. Why? Because we're compromising in the local assembly, in the house of God, because we're numbering the people, talking about you pastors out there, not all pastors, but some that have lost or got your eye off of the prize. You got caught up in numbers. You got caught up in numbering the people, so to speak. What God told David not to do, not to number the people, but David did it anyway. But you have a lot of pastors that are numbering the people, that are looking at the tithes, that are coming in the church, and that are compromising with sin and not speaking up, not saying anything. God is showing them. God is revealing them that he's not pleased with what's going on in the local assembly, but they're not saying anything because they don't want to offend anyone. They don't want that money to go out of the tithe, to leave out of the church house and so on. And so they're compromising because of it. God is not pleased. Just as God is not pleased with, I know many of you are not going to like me as you hear me say this. I say this because I once was, you know, compromising and was saying that it's okay. When what I'm talking about Christian rap. In the church, we have adopted that and grafted that into our local churches and everything, and we did that so that we can win, the lost, win those that are in the world, our young people and everything. So why not with Christian rap and song and everything? But let me tell you, beloved, Jesus is not pleased with it. There are those that have had encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about visions with the Lord, out-of-body experiences with the Lord. Yes, God is still doing it today. Jesus is yet still visiting his people, yet angels are still visiting the people of God and taking them and showing them things concerning the kingdom of God, heaven, and showing them the state of the church. And I want to encourage you, people of God, God is not pleased with Christian rap going on in the church. Jesus said he do not like it. He's displeased about it. He does not like Christian rap in his church. He does not like Christian rock in his church, and he does not like reggae, Christian reggae, in his church. He's displeased about it. He said because it dilutes his power, his presence. That's the reason why we're not seeing miracle signs and wonders and the power of God moving in the church, because we have compromised. And the Lord said it's not because of the lack of love in the church or faith in the church. What the ingredient that is missing from the church is holiness. We have fell away from holiness. Oh, y'all think I just cursed right now because I said holiness. Jesus said that we have changed. We're the ones that have changed. He did not change. Remember, he said he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Lord said we're the one that have changed. We think that the Lord have changed and the Holy Spirit have changed. God did not change. His standards did not change. His ways did not change. He's a holy God still. He said without holiness, no man can see the Lord. I'm not talking about when we cross over in the by and by. Oh, you know, and I get saved and then when I cross over in the by and by, you know, then, you know, I can see the Lord. No, I mean, we're talking about on this side. If you're not walking in holiness, if you're not walking in the righteousness of the Lord, you shall not see the Lord. You shall not encounter or have, you know, experiences with the Lord. But the presence of the Lord will not be with you. Even though we know his word said he'll never leave you nor forsake you, he'll be with you always. Even 10, why? Because, you know, he's married to the backslider, and he's, and the word of God said his spirit not going to strive with men always. So what he's doing is he's trying to woo you back. You know, when we fall and we get out there and we're missing it, is the word of God said we're praying or missing in James. We're hidden, we're missing, and we seem to, you know, start walking in our own mind, our own ways. We get out there and the Lord yet still trying to, you know, woo us back and letting us know how much he loves us and, you know, reproving us and correcting us, because the word of God said he's chasing the ones that he loves. And God is bringing correction to the pastors, to those that are shepherding his houses in the body of Christ. He's correcting some things. That's why you see those that have been dropping dead because they've been caught up. The enemy have tricked them and came in because of pride. As they say, they allowed pride and came in. And so the enemy caused them to venture off in adultery. The enemy have caused them to venture off into greed, into other things. And that's the root of it is pride. And these other spirits that operate with pride begin to enter in, which is, again, what the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That all took place in the beginning with the garden, when the snake came in subtle, Lucifer, the devil, Satan, subtle, used the snake. Because back then, did you know snakes, they walked, they had legs, they walked on their 2 feet. And it was one of the most subtle beasts that God had created. And so, that's what, you know, how the enemy crept into the garden and so on, and then, you know, gave his introduction. See, the enemy, he's a very good salesperson. He's a very good speaker. You know, he like to, you know, try to, you know, sell you on some stuff. You know, a lot of times, you know, the salesmen come, they tell you something that, you know, they get your ear real good, get your attention, but then they mix some lies in there because they got to make that sale. You know, they begin to hype it up even the more, you know, give you that pitch and stuff, and then they got to pull you in, bait you in. And that's how they make their sale, make their closing, and so on and everything. So the enemy is good for that. He's a good salesman and everything. So what God is calling his church to repentance, calling his church to go back to the ancient ways, the old landmarks, so to speak, the old path, back to holiness, back to his ways of righteousness, back to coming back to the altar and kneeling down and repenting and crying out to the Lord. I'm telling you, look at the signs all around you. Look at it with our government. Look at what's going on with same-sex marriages and all these various things that have been happening on the news, the destruction and the earthquakes. The slide, mudslide that killed a lot of people, and the land, manhole, not a manhole, but the big hole earthquake that took place that swallowed the gay parade in, and they could not even find them in this pit that they fell in. God is judging. God's judgment is being released. The only way that God's judgment can be held back is the church will humble themselves. The church will begin to pray. And that would hold back the hand of the judgment of God. But the church is asleep. The church has been sleeping. And God is calling for the church to awake now that sleepeth and slumber, to come out of that sleep. God is speaking to you. Watchmen on the wall, you have been sleeping, you have been slumbering. God saying, awaken, O slumber, because the blood will be on your hands. The blood will be on our hands, O prophet of God, in the name of Jesus. The blood will be on our hands. He said, if you see, amen, the enemy coming, and you do not warn the people. And so what if the blood is on our hands? Those people's blood are required our hands. But if you see the enemy coming, you cry out and you warn the people, but they don't listen, it won't be on you. So it's our job as leaders, as pastors, as leader, whatever facet or function that you operate in, the fivefold ministry gift, when the church as a leader, it's your responsibility to speak the truth in love, to give them the word of God, not to control them, not to rule over them, like you're the Holy Spirit in their life and be, you know, dominant and on their backs and so on. No, God did not call us, again, to be lords over his people. It's our responsibility to give them the word, and what is going to be on them if they don't take heed to the word that was released to them. God is going to deal with the sheep. And a lot of times we're fighting, we're stealing members, we're stealing sheep, and God is not pleased with that. Again, the sheep does not belong unto you. There are pastors and leaders that are in hell because of that fighting over sheep that don't even belong to them in the first place. Anyway, don't even let those things concern you, pastor. Don't even let those things concern you, those that have ministries that are shepherding churches. And Jesus is not even pleased with the mega, with some of these mega churches that are compromised, seeker-friendly churches that are not standing up for righteousness, that are not standing up for holiness, that are preaching good motivational, messages, motivational speakers. That's what they're like. That's what they're called. They're like motivational speakers, and they're ministering as the Word of God talks about, that everything is good, that is peace in the land. When God said they lie, is not peace in the land, this is war. He said, woe unto the false prophet that speak of lies and say that it's peace, and it's not peace. And God is saying something different. But God is calling his prophets to speak against the grain, that are coming against the grain. And a lot of times you have those saying, this is the time of peace and prosperity. Yes, God wants us to prosper. Yes, God wants us to be blessed. But at what cost? He said, we must seek ye first what the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And he said, all these things will be added unto us. That business that you've been desiring, what it is that you've been believing God for? He said, you must first seek ye first the kingdom of God. We have to get our priorities right. We have to get things in line. Because we don't want to miss it, because you have many of those that's in the body of Christ, in the church, that have died and went to hell because of unforgiveness, because of things within their hearts that have led them to hell, and they thought they were on their way to heaven, and they've missed it. And Paul said, if the righteous scarcely make it in. Wow. If we scarcely make it in, what about them? Think about them. When you hear me say them, those that are in the world that are not even saved. If we scarcely make it in ourselves, then what about, that's why, you know, I can understand why Peter was saying then, Lord, who can be saved? You know, so think about it. Then who can be saved? But thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for his blood being shed for us. Thank God for the ultimate sacrifice, especially in these times of trouble that we are in. We have not seen nothing yet. I can remember the Lord showed me throughout my my years of ministry, throughout my years of my walks with him. The Lord had showed me visions of the end time, showed me visions of military invasion in the United States, in our nation. God began to show me those things, the military forces taking over in our land. And not too long ago, I saw jet fighters flying in. I don't know what city I was in the vision, but I saw like jet fighter pilots fighting in war in the clouds. I saw them on fire and on fire falling out of the sky, like almost like, you know, just dropping left and right, crashing into houses, crashing into buildings, exploding and so on. It was being broadcast on the news that we were in war with, I heard the Spirit say that we were in war with aliens. And I didn't understand it. What did that mean, aliens? I'm like, what, aliens? And then I began to meditate and ponder, see light on it. And I said, oh, aliens, that's another word for foreigners. You know how when you go into another country, you're considered an illegal alien, as they call it. Those that come into our country, to the United States, and they're not a born citizen here, they're considered illegal aliens. That's the terminology that we use. So that means they're foreigners. And so the Lord was showing me that we were going to be in war with foreigners in our nation right here, war taking place right here in America, in the United States. And then the Lord showed me another vision, which was not too long ago, about martial law here in the United States, where the military forces came in and they called a curfew. Everything was shut down, and you cannot be out on the streets. Yes, we are coming to that. I've heard not too long ago that there has been a law passed by our government, signed for a martial law here in our state, that another foreign country have to come in, that's a military force to police our nation here, because our own military forces here in the United States cannot police or do martial law here. So they have to get someone that's not of our nation to police, because that's the time that we're about to come in. You're about to see riots and violence like never before. This is the work of the enemy to stir these things up so they can bring martial law, to bring order into this nation. So this is all being set up and orchestrated by the enemy. The platform is being set for the Antichrist. Whether you want to believe it or not, I believe the Antichrist is here now, on the scene now. The platform is being set, the stage is being set for him to take his place. And that's why you can see these different laws that are being passed, these things that are abomination, which caused Sodom and Gomorrah to be destroyed, which caused the days, like the days of Noah, for the earth to be flooded because of sin. And the Word of God talks about they were given in marriages and drinking and celebrating and all that. Marriages, let me point some out, marriages. There's a lot of same-sex marriages that are going on now in the days that we are in, giving in marriages, get that, the key word, giving in marriages, celebrating it in song and everything. And this is what's going on. And God showed me a vision of him judging the sin of homosexuality. He loves the homosexual, but he hates the sin. God hates any sin. So with God being just, a just God and who he is, God must judge the sin. And so that's the reason why Jesus gave his life for our sins, so that we don't have to be lost, so that we don't have to perish, so that we don't have to have it spend eternity in the lake of fire. The lake of fire was created for Satan and his angels. The lake of fire was never intended for us. The lake of fire was never created for us, but it was created for the devil and his angels. But because of the hardness of our hearts, because of sin, that's why you have those end up in that place. Hell is just a holding place until God casts death in hell into the lake of fire. It's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And so hell right now is just a holding place, waiting for those to be, you know, to stand before the great white throne judgment seat of God. Those small, as John said, I saw the book open. And he saw those being judged, the small and the great. I'm talking about presidents, kings, you know, actors, all you know, well-known people, all the way down to the least, being judged. You know, those that were communists, those that were atheists, those that were tyrants, those that were genocides, that killed off. Multitudes of people just murdered them and killed them. Those that are killing the church martyrs, those that are preaching the gospel. We have not seen nothing yet that is coming here to the United States. That what they're experiencing over in the third world countries is coming here. They're trying to get the Sharia law passed here in our states. It's coming here where we're not going to be able to carry our Bible. We're not going to be able to say anything about Jesus or say that we're Christian. And so I'm telling you, people of God, it is coming. You got to be prepared, got to be ready. Will you stand for him? Jesus saying, do you love him like you say that you do? Are you willing to go through persecution for him? Are you willing to go through for him this little stuff we be going through? We be weeping, we be crying, we be boo-hooing, we be having pity parties, we be feeling sorry for ourselves. You hollering, woe is me, oh God, we don't be wanting to go through nothing. And think about all what Jesus went through for us, the price that he had paid for us. Think about the prophets that have suffered and were persecuted and martyred and were killed. Think about the apostles, how they went through for the gospel's sake. And the Lord is saying the same thing unto us. In the word of God, it said this present life, these light afflictions does not compare to the glory that shall be revealed through us. So this is nothing. God just only wants to reveal his glory through you. God just wants his glory to rest upon you, his power, his presence, his anointing. So it must need be that you go through. It must need be that you suffer some things and go through some things and experience some hardship in your life so that you can be able to stand yet in the days to come that is approaching in these end times. I'm telling you, people of God, you got to be prepared. You got to be ready. So I want to encourage you to begin to tighten up your relationship with the Lord. Begin to tighten up your walk with the Lord. Begin to repent and go back to your first love. And those of you, I want to encourage you to draw close. This is the time to draw closer and nearer unto the Lord. This is the time to really be praying and interceding for your families, for your loved ones that are not saved. Don't give up on them. Just pray for them. That's the time to pray. Don't, you know, begin to, you know, start distancing yourself. I don't want to have nothing to do with them and stuff because they're doing this and that and all that. No, pray for them. God wants you to pray for them because you are the key to their deliverance. You have to intercede. God said don't lose hope. Continue to pray for them. Continue to fast. And this is time to fast. This is the season of fast. Isaiah 58 talks about it. This is not the fast that I have chosen. Not that fast that the religious folks do. You know, you have those that fast and want to, you know, just brag and boast. Well, you know, I fasted 40 days and the Lord had me to extend an additional 10 days on my fast. I prayed for 15 hours a day and so on and everything. But the word of God said they have a reward. That's their reward. God said, you don't fast to strike with the fist or to debate and so on like they did. The religious folks, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and different ones did. They did it to debate the word of God and to show off and this and that. And then when you read about it in the New Testament, many of them, they were, you know, putting on a false countenance, like as if they were fasting, you know, and looking all disfigured in the face. But the word of God talks about, you know, wash your face, anoint your head with oil. Don't look like that you're fast, you know, walking around all with a sad conscience. Oh, I'm on this fast. The Lord got me on the fast. And, oh, I don't know if I can make it. Oh, you know. No, continue to keep the joy of the Lord. Continue to, you know, walk around like, you know, Amen. All is well, which all is well. Everything is good. I mean, it seems like hell could be breaking loose every which way in your life and everything. But you can be walking through that thing, and as the Word of God said, you can walk through the fires and you will not be burned. You can come out that thing not smelling like smoke. The rivers may try to come and overtake you, but it shall not overtake you. It shall not overflow you. Hallelujah. That what you're going through, the test, the trial, in your life, it will not overtake you. It will not overflow you. Amen. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on the prize. Forgetting those things that are behind. Forget things of the past that the enemy try to bring up. Memory, recall, these things that you have done in the past and reminisce and trying to bring up past hurts and unforgiving. All these different things. Begin to renounce these things. Begin to release these things. Begin to cast down these high imaginations, these vain thoughts, these wicked thoughts, unclean thoughts, perverted thoughts, all these thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring you every thought into the captivity and the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, God's ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. So we got to get the mind of Christ. We got to get the mind of Jesus. We got to begin to cast down our analytical minds, our way of thinking and doing it our way and so on. So we got to begin to cast these things down, our theology. My prayer has been for me lately. I'm talking about for me. Yes, me. Carl, for me. I've been saying, Lord, help undo, unlearn me from the things that I thought I know or that I was taught or learned, and so unlearn me from these things, Lord, and teach me your ways, your statutes, your commandments, Lord. Begin to crown me with your wisdom, and according to Ephesians 1, I believe it's the first chapter, 17th and the 18th verse, and I begin to pray, my prayer, Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Give that not wisdom and revelation so that I can be puffed up, so that I can be seen of men, so I can be like, oh, how well I'm a great orator, or how well I can articulate the Word of God, or in speech, or break down the Greek and the Hebrew and so on, and, you know, just a great speaker. And, you know, what good is Paul said, I don't come to you with men's and enticing words, but I come to you with demonstration and with power. And that's what it's all about, says God. That's what God is bringing the church to that place of demonstration and power. There's been a lot of preaching and teaching, but there's been no demonstration. There's been no power of God moving in the local assembly or in the church of God. But God, God wants to bring that back, because He's not coming back for a weak church. He said the church has been weak. The church comments has been spotted and wrinkled. Did He not say, I'm coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish? This is time for you to pray and begin to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to keep your garment clean, to help you to keep your garment unspotted, unstained, and unwrinkled. And Jesus began to share with one of those that had a vision with Him about they saw the wedding feast of the table. And the Lord began to tell them, Jesus began to tell them, they cannot sit at this table if they have a spot or a wrinkle in their garment. They're not welcome to the wedding feast. They're not welcome to the table. And so you begin to pray and ask God to help you if you've been stained, if you've been spotted in your garment, to help you to get it clean, to wash with the blood of the Lamb of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I know I've not got to the Word of God, but I just have to go if God is leading me to go prophetically. This needs to be said. We are definitely, I want to encourage you to fast. Like in Isaiah 58 talks about fasting, I want to encourage you to do so, because some things only come that way. Jesus said, through fasting, you pray. This is time to fast now. This is high time to fast with prayer. Begin to increase your prayer life. Your walk, not get religious with it. Now I'm talking about really draw near unto the Lord, to hear from God, to be sensitive to the Lord, especially that which is about to come upon the earth. There are many more visions that I could share with you. I don't have enough time to share with you of what the Lord has shown me concerning the end time. And God has confirmed not only me, but there are many others, and those that are listening to me under the sound of my voice, like you, that have had encounters with the Lord, and that can concur with some of the things that I'm sharing with you concerning the end times that we are in, concerning some of the visions. Like I said, I saw the angel of the Lord in a vision judge homosexuality. In this vision, I was in this restroom, just giving you the edited version, went into this restroom, and I saw all types of homosexual acts going on in this washroom. And I'm like, I just want to come in here and to use the restroom. And I see this going on left and right, and I walked up to one of the stalls, which actually was made like it was weird. It was made like an actual closet door. And so I opened up the stall, and I saw two men in there just performing unspeakable acts in there. So I'm like, let me get out of here. I got to get out of here. I cannot be here in this. And so I began to leave and walk out of this place. And right then as I began to about to get ready to walk out of the washroom, the door slung open, and it was like a flank of angels going all the way across. Just how you would see when you look on some of these old movies, these Roman centurion soldiers, how they dress, like when you watch some of the Jesus movies and how you have the Roman soldiers, how they dress. That's how angels, that's how I saw the warring angels. This is how warring angels dress. I saw them exactly like that, how you see on the movies. I wore them with the helmet, with the breastplate on, with those little skirts on, the sandals. But I saw these angels. They stood about almost about 9 or 10 feet tall, all had on the same, all dressed in body armor. Had on it was like two flanks of angels. First flank came in, their armor was like blue in color. The second flank came in, their armor was red and in color. And they all had long spears in their hand. And I mean, these spears were so thick, polished, the pole, it would take two hands for me to try to hold the spear in my hand. And the spear tip was so big, bigger than my head, and silver and so sharp that I could smell the sharpness of the spear. And it was me and a few other people that these warring angels allow us to get by, but no other person that was in homosexuality could not get past the warring angels of the Lord. And as I'm telling you, that's what's going on. These different calamities, different things you're seeing in the earth realm is because of the God is judging. And God is judging sin, and God is bringing his word to pass. This is high time for us, people of God, to begin to repent and begin to cry aloud unto the Lord and watch him again. As you heard me say, get back on the wall and begin to warn the people of God, begin to cry out and to warn the city, to sound the alarm, to blow the trumpet in Zion, to sound the shofar. This is the time, amen, to take up, amen, your battle arms. I mean, to get into spiritual warfare. The war is to begin to come forth. This is time. You prayer warriors, this is time. You prophetic intercessors, to begin to pray and to stand in the gap to make up the head for our nation. Hallelujah. Judgment is coming to the White House. Judgment is coming, amen, to our nation. It is coming because of things that has been allowed in our nation. And this is for us, people of God, to begin to pray, to intercede for our president, to pray and to intercede for this nation, salvation in this nation, and that God will be merciful unto us and merciful unto our families and merciful unto the church, the body of Christ, those that, as we say, are walking in the kingdom. We've been so kingdom-minded, but we've been missing it. We've been missing it. It's about the souls of men. It's about us walking in unity and walking in one accord. Is about us walking in the holiness of God. Amen. God said, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God is perfecting those things that concerns us through the things that we go through. God just wants to mature us. And that's what God is not. Don't allow these things to happen in your life to hurt you or try to destroy you. Yes, the enemy will love to try to destroy you. But it's God's purpose, his plans and intention to grow you up, to mature you, to cause you to mature in the spirit, to mature in the things of him, to mature in the kingdom of God. Because when you begin to mature in the things of God, you begin to walk in a greater realm of authority. And so with great authority and walking in the great grace of God being released in your life and walking in such an anointing of the Lord, you come under a greater attack. Did you not cry to say, Lord, I want more faith? Lord, increase my faith. Did you not say, Lord, increase the anointing upon my life? Did you not say, Lord, I want to be able to prophesy and cast out devils in a greater dimension, in a greater realm? So when you begin to ask these things, begin to petition the throne of God, and now you don't understand why you're going through these different things in your life. You forgot the prayer that you prayed unto the Lord. So remember the prayer that you prayed unto God. I'm going to probably only be able to share a few scriptures with you because I know my time is winding up. I don't have that much time. But in I told you to go to 2 Corinthians, I believe the 4th chapter, the 8th through the 10th verse, it says here, We are troubled on, reading from the King James Version, we are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. This is for the people of God. It's talking about us. We're not talking about the people of the world. Jesus said, I pray not, in John 17. I don't pray for the world, but I pray for them. I pray for these that you have given me, with which I'm praying for. So, as Paul was saying here, he said that we're troubled on every side, but yet not in stress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9, we are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Verse 10, closing verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You hear that, people of God? All these things, it seems like, you know, we're being troubled on every side. It seems like, you know, but the word of God said we're not in distress. It seems like we have moments of perplexity, but God will not leave us in despair. We're going to go through persecution, but the Lord is letting us know that we're not, he's not going to forsake us. We may experience a moment where we feel cast down. But we're not going to be destroyed. God is not going to allow the enemy to destroy us. The purpose is that we will always be bearing about in the body. You hear that? In the body. The dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just you personally, but I'm talking about corporately. Within the body, that we always be bearing about the Lord Jesus. We're supposed to bear you one another burden. Man of God, woman of God, sister of God, brother of God, son of God, daughter of God. We're supposed to do it and not devour one another. Not have contention in the body. Not be envious of one another, jealous and sowing seeds of discord. These are the works of the flesh, the work of the devil. And what it's doing is deleting the power of God. It's causing the God to be ineffective the way that he wants to in the body because it's too much division going on. It's too much disunity going on in the body. Too much jealousy and slandering and gossiping and backbiting and talking about one another in the body. And so, but the word says in verse 10, they're always bearing about in the body. The dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're supposed to be examples, showing the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our body. So the world can see Jesus Christ being manifested in our body. The world that don't believe, the world that already kind of look at the church as a joke, because they study seeing scandals about us on the news. I'm going to tell you, people of God, the world stereotypes the whole church as a whole. When you look at see the Catholic Church on TV, and they talk about the pedophiles and these different things that they're suing the church. You know, the world is not just looking at the Catholic Church. They're looking at the church as a whole. They're looking at the whole denomination of churches. They put us in the same category. And so that has to be broken, people of God. We have to break away from that. We have to show the manifestation of Jesus Christ in our body. And how are we going to do that? We have to pick up our cross and fall after the Lord daily. Man, we have to die to ourselves, die to our flesh. We have to show the love of God. And we have to manifest his presence, not just on just giving them, you know, the word, but no, demonstrate. Begin to demonstrate the kingdom. What's the purpose of coming to the house of God if you're not demonstrating that in the world? You know, if you have a prophetic gift, God bless you, to operate in the prophetic, begin to prophesy to these people. Begin to give them the word of the Lord out here so they can see that God is real. God is giving you a gift of healing, and you begin to do this. People out here in the world that are sick, I mean, ask them, can you pray for them? Pray for their healing, and watch and see what God does. This is the purpose of us coming into the house, is to equip us, get us ready so that we can go out to the world to demonstrate the kingdom, to show our good works. Amen. Before let me see our good works. Amen. So that they may glorify our Father, which is in heaven. That's what it's all about, God being glorified through us. In Psalms 20:1, the word of God says this, that the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Hear that? The Lord hears us in the day of trouble. What is trouble? Let me give you the definition of trouble. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary of trouble is to agitate mentally or spiritually, to worry, to disturb, archaic, mistreat, oppress, to produce physical disorder, in or to afflict. Doesn't that sound like, you know, somewhat like what was going on in the beginning? You know, the earth was you know, without form. It was void, and it was chaos going on, and God had to bring order. You know, it was a bunch of trouble going on. And then, like, sometimes how our life may be, how the enemy comes in our life and wreak havoc, cause trouble, disorder, break up, you know, our marriages, you know, bring, you know, disunity in our marriage, our family, our home. You know, all kind of trouble, you know, afflict our bodies and so on, you know, cause them to be troubled. And then Paul did say, when you're married, you shall find there shall be troubles. And there's going to be trouble in your flesh, because the word of God said if you're burning in your flesh, then marry. Amen. That's for somebody. So don't be playing with it. Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? So we can't be playing with this thing. And so this is what the enemy comes to do. He comes to bring trouble, disorder and just chaos and all these different things. And the Hebrew definition is tightness, rival, adversary, adversities, afflictions, distresses, tribulations, anguish, trouble. All these things the enemy comes to bring. Psalms 34:19 it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of them all. Isn't that like God? God delivers out of some of our afflictions. Is that what the word says? Part of our afflictions? No, the word of God says all of our afflictions. In Psalms 22:24, it says this, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted, neither have he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. That's why I'm telling people, God, to cry out unto the Lord. Don't stop crying out to the Lord, for the Lord has heard you. He has heard your prayers. He has seen your tears. And God will answer you. God wants you to continue to cry out unto him as the poor man did in Psalms 34:6. That poor man cried out unto the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You familiar with that passage of Scripture in the New Testament, in one of the four Gospels, where the man was crying out unto the Lord, and he was trying to shut him up and quiet him down, be quiet, be quiet. And the man, he cried out even louder and even the more, Son of David, now Son of David, have mercy upon me. And then sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to cry out when people trying to shut us up and say, don't take all that. You're being too loud. You're just trying to be a show off and this and that. And they want you to get dignified and so on and everything. But you have to let them know, hey, I can become even more undignified than this. And this one, you have to cry out to the Lord even the more and begin to say, oh, God, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And I tell you, that's what's going to take many of you to break from that pride and break that dignity, trying to be dignified and stuff and being, embarrassed and ashamed. I don't want people seeing me crying or broken. That's not me. They're not used to seeing me that way. They're used to seeing me being, strong and walking around, just hard and strong and tough and nothing affects me. I don't go through anything, and I mean everything is perfect, everything is well. But you don't want to see nobody see you broken, see that you're going through and so on. It's time to let all that go and be broken, because the Word of God said in Psalm 51, a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. So we have to come broken before the Lord. See, the world teaches us that we have to be strong and prideful, and don't let them see your sweat, and don't let them see your weakness and so on. But God is the opposite. We have to come humble before the Lord. We have to come in humility before we have to come broken and with tears and songs before the Lord. And this is totally opposite from, how the world operates and what the world may say. And so we have to come in humility unto the Lord. In Psalms 20:1, as you heard me say, the name of the God of Jacob defend you, because God will defend you when you're in trouble. Did he not say that he did? Didn't the word of God say, I believe in Isaiah, said that he's a counselor? He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. Hallelujah. Did not say the Lord hear thee? Again, as you heard me say in Psalms 1, in the day of trouble, then he said, he goes to say the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. In Isaiah 59:19, it says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, well, you know the rest. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard, which means a banner against them. Let them know that you're marked by me. This is my territory that you're trying to, invade. It's not going on. In verse 2, it says, they'll send thee help from the sanctuary. Psalms 20, in verse 2. He will send you help from the sanctuary. God, isn't that like God always send help? When you think that, how things are going to work out for you, God always has a ram in a bush and send somebody your way. Hallelujah. God always send. Help like he did Abraham. When Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, amen, he said, touch not the lad. Look over there. There was a lamb in a bush over there. In John 5:4, it said, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever the first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease. Let's break it down. Dis-ease he had. You hear that? The troubling of the waters. Now, there's troubling going on this time with God. It's troubling the waters, causing the angels to trouble things in the realm of the spirit. But if you're sensitive to the realm of the spirit, go ahead and just jump in and tap into that in whatever condition that you're dealing with your body. If you just begin to believe and receive and pull from that and jump in and into the deep, punch off into it, and you're going to be made whole. I tell you, God is manifesting his presence and healing right now as you begin to jump into the troubling of the water. And don't find excuses like a man did for 38 long years waiting for somebody, when nobody put me into the war. You know how we do, make up excuses why we're not moving forward in the ministry, why we're not moving forward in what God and being obedient with God have given unto us to do. We find excuses and we try to put it off on somebody else to do it for us. God is calling for us to do. Amen. Well, people of God, I guess my time is up. When you get a chance to go back and read Luke, the 22nd chapter, the 40th through the 43rd verse in Psalms 20, where God strengthened thee out of Zion, 20. And later in that passage, Psalms 20, I want you to read the whole passage of Scripture and also read the rest, like I said, the rest of Psalms, the whole chapter of Psalms 20. And that's your answer to prayer. Right there. Well, my time is up, people of God. I just pray that you were blessed and you were encouraged by the word of God. This is high time again to get into prayer and to begin to seek the face of the Lord. I'm sorry I'm not unable to open up the lines on tonight because of some technical difficulties, but you can call me at area code 773-888-3356 if you need prayer, if you need us to agree with you. If you don't get anyone, just leave your name and your number, and we're going to return all calls in the order which they have been received. So I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be strengthened in the Lord. And those of you that are listening under the sound of my voice, if you're not saved, you need to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a call for you. You may be a backslider. You may have turned away from God. You may have been discouraged by the church and just gave up. This is the time to search out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is not the time to run away from the church, because those leaders that you may have seen, that may have did something that was not of God, that discouraged you and caused you to leave away from the church, you cannot let this stop you in your walk of God. You must continue to serve the Lord, because they're going to have to give an account. We all going to have to stand before God by ourselves and give an account for what we have done, the deeds that we have done in our body, the things that we have done. The Word of God talks about that, I believe, in Corinthians, about we're going to have to give an account for the good and the bad that was done, that we have done. So you cannot be concerned about this person didn't do right, this person. You got to be concerned about your own self, whether you make it in. So I want you to focus in on that. Don't think about somebody else. You know, they're not living right. It's all you. You live right. You do what is right, because that's what the Lord wants. Did you love? Did you forgive? And that's the only thing that's going to matter when you stand before the Lord, before yourself. And just repeat after me. I just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. If you prayed that prayer, you are now saved. Romans 10 and 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in the Lord Jesus, with your heart, with your lips, and with your heart, thou shalt be saved. For with the confession of the mouth, is believed unto, saved unto unto righteousness. Amen. You're saved. Amen. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. I want to encourage you to get into a spirit-filled church that believes in the whole role, get mentored, be there for every service, Bible study, or whatever, go and learn, sit, soak up. Amen. Whatever you need to soak up. And then allow, once you have went through your season of drinking, milk and maturing and things of God, start getting busy in the church. Connect with your local house. Allow God to use you. Whatever gift of time he bless you with, allow that to be used in the local church that you are with and that you're connected with. I want to encourage you to do that, to be busy in the house of God. Amen. So the angels in heaven are rejoicing over you, and those of you that may have just given your life back to the Lord, welcome back. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God would infill you, that you're sealed now with the precious spirit of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you begin to have the evidence of speaking with new tongues, with the heavenly language, in the name of Jesus, that you will be filled with the power of God, in the name of Jesus. I pray that every curse be broken off of you right now, in the name of Jesus, that God will strengthen you and surround you with godly men, hallelujah, with godly women, sisters, in the name of Jesus, that will encourage you, and that will pray for you, and that will continue to help be part of you walking the straight and narrow path in Jesus' name. Well, my time is up, and I do have an announcement to make. We're going to be with Jesus Pathway Ministries. That's Pastor Terrence and Angela Hall, good friends of ours. Thank God for them, dynamic men and women of God. He's going to be ministering. A big event is going to be at the AFC. Those of you that are here in the Chicagoland, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. We're here in the Chi-Town, the Winning Center. We're going to be at the AFC. We're going to be with them. We're part of my wife and myself are part of singing with him on his praise team. And it's called Continuous Flow Lunch. It's going to be a worship gathering. I'm talking about for you worshipers that love to worship God prophetically in spirit and in truth. It's going to be a prophetic gathering, a worship gathering. I'm talking about singing songs of deliverance, songs of healing, songs of victory. Prophetic ministry is going to be going forth in this event. And actually, this event is this Saturday. For those of you that are in the Chicagoland area, the surrounding suburbs, South Holland, Tinley Park, Harvey, Markham, whatever south suburb that you're in, we're inviting those of you that are in the Indiana area, Munster, Hammond, East Chicago, Indiana, Gary, you know, you get a ride with somebody if need be to come and meet us at the AFC World Outreach Center, and that's 7859 South Ashland Avenue, and that's in Chicago, Illinois. We're going to be inside the Revelation Hall. That's the Revelation Hall. Again, it's going to be the worship gathering. If you need more information, you can contact Pastor Hall at area code 708-527-0935. And also you can email him or go to him at his website at www.JesusPathwayMinistry.com. That's www.JesusPathwayMinistry.com. And again, that number is area code 708-527-0935. Again, that's this Saturday, May the 24th at 3:30 p.m. I advise you to come early to get a good seat. Bring a loved one. Bring that unsaved person. Bring the person that may be bound by the enemy. Bring them. Amen. Bring a neighbor. Bring a friend. Amen. Come. Bring your spouse. Amen. That don't believe. Amen. Bring them. Amen. To this event. You don't want to miss this event. And we're going to have guests there like Apostle Melvin Crawford, Prophetess Lisa Jenkins, and also Minister Leon and Dale Paul. Amen. The Pals. Amen. So you are in for a treat. Amen. I'm going to be in high expectation this Saturday. Myself. So again, I'm inviting you out to come and to be with us. We're going to be with, again, with Pastor Paul, Jesus Pathway Ministry. It's a worship gathering group. His worship group is called Continuous Flow. This Saturday at 3:30 p.m., May the 24th, in the Revelation Hall at the AFC World Outreach Center, right there at 7859 South Ashland Avenue. Again, if you want to get in contact with me, you need prayer. Amen. And you want to know what we're doing in upcoming events, you can just get in contact with us at area code 773-888-3356. Again, I have went over my time. Again, I just want to thank those of you that have tuned in. Tune in again the first Monday of this month to Restore a Path to Dwelling. I've been your host, Apostle Carl Flowers. I love you. Thank God for you and your support. You can always go back to the archives and pull us up for our past broadcasts. Go back to Kingdom Builders International / Blog Talk Radio and pull up Restore Past Dwell In Apostle Flowers. You can hear some of our past broadcasts and song and everything. So God bless you and love you, and good night.